Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank.
Hey, 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 it is Fish Tank Live presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group, Seth Levitt. Right here live on the Dolphins YouTube channel, and I am joined by the toughest live podcaster Dan Marino ever played with. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, it's a light crew, but it's the right crew tonight.
Always, man. Always. We love our guys, man, but we always bring in the right guys, and, you know, nice of us to allow ourselves to be able to put on a great show no matter who's behind That's the right. microphones.
You self-care. Know, it's like self-care. Yeah,
right. And Seth, I want to say, like, you're not in the Casabella design room tonight, studio, because you're grinding, bro. You're grinding, huh?
In the office. Got a big event coming up on the 23rd. Mike, I wish you were down here. You could join us because I know Juice and Chad will be here. But it is the 6th annual Jason Taylor Community Hall of Fame dinner at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. It's this Saturday, May 23rd, and we every year we honor three people that inspire JT to continue to do the work that he does in the community. It's always one youth honoree, one celebrity, and one corporate honoree. And actually, the celebrity honoree this year is former Miami Dolphins fullback Alec Ingold. So he was chosen when he was still with the Miami Dolphins, and he is now a Charger, of course. But I told him he's still a Hall of Famer in our eyes, and he's flying in. He gets in tomorrow. Actually, Friday. He gets in Friday.
That's a long flight now for him. He's coming from the West Coast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just the respect these guys have for each other, so it's really cool. Great guy, Alec is, and it's a special event for us. We'll try to raise a few bucks and really celebrate the great work that others are doing in the community, and it'll be a good time, man. It's a good party.
Yeah, I know you got to introduce the other guys, but I think Alec's still making great money though, Big Seth. You know,
yeah, I think it was a come up.
He'll be able to that flight to be first class. You know, I mean, he'll be all right.
And I'm trying to be the champion of the silent auction like I was last year because I cleaned up last year. So, we had extra people in a U-Haul take the whole thing that we got.
Let me tell you, Chad Van Horn was absolutely number one on the list of the power rankings for the silent auction. And we are expecting big things from him again. There's no doubt about it. So I'm glad you brought up the silent auction, Chad, because we opened it up early. What's great now in the day and age where you don't have to hover over a clipboard and stand there and box people out so they don't bid on the item that you have. You know, you put it on a link and people can bid from around the world. And so we open it up early and we keep adding items on there. And Juice, I saw Chad, so he's just peeking right now. He's waiting for the fourth quarter, but he's peeking. He's watching the trends.
Chad doesn't play fair, does he, man?
I see him. No, it's perfectly. It's strategic.
It's legit, but he don't play fair though, man.
Well, you know what? So I want to talk about this first. We do have to have the intro.
We got to show. Yeah,
we already talked about the guys. You can't be on Dolphins Talk without inviting our good friend Michael Leva here. So he's joining us, becoming somewhat of a regular here in Fish Tank Live. So we absolutely love that. Which, again, if you're going to operate in somebody's backyard, I guess they are going to be regular. They can kind of hang out whatever they like. Right. And the aforementioned Chad Van Horn, and speaking of playing fair, last week he talked to us about how he was doing a Dancing with the Stars-like event for charity because he's charitable. And there's your answer, folks. The Mirrorball Trophy. Give it up for Chad Van Horn, the champion dancer.
Promises made, promises delivered. I told you guys. You weren't going to be the only trophy holders. We got to add to the trophy case. And we did. And some people said I cheated because I did bring out my daughter dressed as Belle. And we danced to Beauty and the Beast together. And everybody was crying, including all the judges and everybody voting. But at the end of the day, we brought home the trophy.
Was there anything in the rule book about not bringing out babies?
I was the only one that read the rule book, first off. And I read
like a true lawyer reading the fine print.
Mike, show what we got, Mike.
I got a picture. Mike. Oh yeah, it's from OJ.
So there
you go. Oh, look at that!
That is nice.
Look at that. And, so now, Juice, you were there. Was it earned? Was it bought? Was it cheated? I mean, tell us what you saw.
It was earned. It was earned, man. And everybody that performed and participated did a great job. Chad really, you know, it's a combination of things too. Chad was also huge in fundraising for those guys, you know, as well. But I mean, the dancing part was all Chad, man. And I was at a table with the ops, man. I was sitting with the ops, you know, they was rooting against Chad because he had somebody in there as well. And I said, nah, you can't sway me away from my man, you know. And Chad tried to get me to change tables, man. I said, nah, I'm working on these people right here, Chad. I'm working on this table right here. Get them going.
Hilarious. So, Chad, I had asked last time and we couldn't get it. Now I see it was Beauty and the Beast themed, but what was the dance? Was that a waltz?
It was a waltz. Yeah. So it was a waltz. And I, as I said, I requested hip hop. That was denied immediately. She said, well, we'll do a waltz. And I said, what is a waltz? Because I did not know what a waltz was.
Hilarious.
And fortunately, again, my partner won last year and she won this year. So obviously she has a great track record and she said I was crushing it compared to the competition. I didn't know if she was just hyping me up or not, but after seeing it, everybody did great. But again, my partner made sure that we brought that home and my two partners, I should say, and I had those dancing shoes on. They just showed the picture. The last time I wore those, I danced with the most beautiful woman in the world. That was during my wedding, and they've been in the closet since. I brought them out, and I danced with the most beautiful girl in the world this time around, dancing with my daughter. So it was the best experience of my life. The first time my baby made it onto the news as well. Shout out to Channel 10 for covering it. And it's just a great memory that I have with my family, my friends, and one of many that I'm going to have with my daughter, Kiara. Yeah,
she's a rock star already, man. She's a rock star already, Chad. That's good stuff, man. She was beautiful. It was great, Seth, you know. And Seth, I know you've been a part of Dancing with the Stars, you know, where JT was in it, but his shoes are in the office, sitting in the office there.
Quick step shoes.
That shoe thing, man, I don't know if he can fit those anymore. And Chad, I'm sure it's about time you probably retire yours as well, my man. It's, you know, you can go out on top, bro. Just go out on top.
Put them in a case. Well, congratulations. Congratulations to you. And what was the charity? Tell us the charity that benefited from the experience.
It was the charity is American Lung Association. And,
very nice.
I mean, it was a first-class event across the board. And a shout out to American Lung Association.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and one of the main messages, let me get this to a lot of our people in the chat, man, we're talking about vaping, man. I know a lot of us, you know, have friends that vape and smoke cigarettes and smoke some other stuff, man. But, you know, protect your lungs. I lost my mom to lung cancer, you know, and she was a heavy smoker. So, you know, protect yourselves out there, y'all. We want everybody to be in this chat in about 60 to 70 years from now.
No doubt. No doubt. Great stuff, fellas. Great stuff. And congratulations to Kiara for making the news. And speaking of making news, a day doesn't go by where our Miami Dolphins don't make news. So there's been a few different things. I guess the pure newsworthy nature of what happened. So we talked about, yeah, just keep it out there, Chad. Well, absolutely. Get that mirror ball out there. We talked about the schedule release, right, guys? We did our review of the schedule release videos. But now we also know what the preseason schedule looks like. And we were lit in on a little secret. So the Dolphins, we've got the Washington Commanders, and they're going to have a joint practice, right? A one-day joint practice with Washington Commanders. Yep. Mm-hmm. Going to see the New York Giants and get a joint practice with those guys. And then, you know, you thought maybe you had a little drama coming. You got Atlanta coming in. Thought we could get a joint practice and see what Oos looked like on the other side there. But there's not going to be a joint practice with Atlanta. There's just going to be a preseason game. And who knows if
we'll get a lot of time in that game though, Big Seth. If he's not the starter, at least we might see him for a half or so. You know what I mean? That'd be pretty cool too.
Yeah, Tua Tagovailoa in the preseason. It will be interesting to see what happens there. So, and the joint practices. I mean, you know, I probably won't go out to any this year, but those are the best practices to attend, are they not, OJ?
So good. The joint practices are the absolute best because you're tired at that point of, you know, going against guys that know every single move, every single play on your team. You're tired of seeing guys, you know, in the opposite color, but they're still your colors, and you want to see somebody, you know, that as fresh. It's the first time on the football team, you know, that where you're all on the same team. When it comes to the off season, you know, in the off season, you know, when you're doing the running and lifting, yeah, you're on the same team. But when it comes to practice, it's offense versus defense, one-on-ones, you know, when they go on the inside stuff, 7-on-7, 11-on-11. We hate our own teammates, you know, during that time. But when the opposition comes in town or you go and visit the opposition, that's when offense is wearing all white, defense is wearing all white, or, you know, vice versa. And you get to go out there and get at some other people, man. And I'm going to tell you what, joint practices are the best to me because one team might set the tone. You know, one team can set the tone. Like if our defense is setting the tone on one side and the offense is lackluster, we can look over there and see what the defense is doing and say, we got to step it up, you know, and the other way around. It's been that way before. And I remember, hell, was it last year? Was it Jordan Brooks?
Lions
Jordan
won.
Brooks.
They kicked their ass.
Jordan Brooks was pissed. So, yeah, joint practices are great, man. And it's always good to go against other competition, see where you stack up. And the practices are way more important than the games are. People look at the game, the preseason game, and they want to, you know, play those results. Go out to practice, especially when it's here, because, you know, they leave it wide open for everybody. So go out to the practice there, man, and watch the one-on-ones. Watch our guys go against other guys that are quality guys, man. It's so much fun. And it's, like I said, bro, it's like a breath of fresh air to be able to go against somebody else.
What do you think about the fact that they're only doing one day each with each guy? Well, let me ask what you think, and then I'll tell you what I think. I wonder if it's a line, but because we've seen 2 days, right? And things get a little testy on day two at times. Things carry over, and there's some get back and all that. What do you think about one day?
Well, everything's gotten soft, Big Seth. Yeah. Oh, things gotten soft, man. That's it. Didn't we go like maybe 3 days with Jimmy Johnson? Probably had us. He wanted us to go every day, 2 days in pads against the ops. You know what I mean?
I just remember Izzo fought 2 days in a row.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. You can't fight 2 days in a row if you only practice one day in a row. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I love that. When you see a scrap going on the other field, you I mean, it's not. I mean, obviously, you shouldn't be fighting. I'm not condoning fighting, but when it's hot and testy out there, and you got guys that are taking either cheap shots or you took a cheap shot and they retaliate, I mean, that's what's up. But one day, I don't know if that's enough. Is it going to be both practices or just one practice? Period. Do you know?
I think each day. So I think the Washington one is August 12th. Then they're off the 13th, and then they play the game the 14th. Right. The Giants one, I didn't see the dates, but I'm thinking it's just one.
That's garbage. Yeah, that's garbage.
Look, we know how everything's changed since you played OJ. It's not the same. Yeah. I'll say this, though. That Lions one last year, people in the media, they can't agree on anything. You listen to one person's recap of a practice, it's the best team since 1972. You read someone else, it's the worst team in the league. Like, are you guys watching the same thing? Everyone agreed, whether it's Miami reporters, all the reporters in Detroit, we lost a practice. I don't know how you lose a practice. We lost a practice. That was so bad. So, no, you don't want to see guys fight because you want to see someone get hurt. You don't want to see that. But a little bit of that OJ probably ain't too bad either. A little bit of team bonding, a little bit of spirit. Like, don't let them come here and just shove us around. I would think a little bit of that is okay. I would think from an outsider's point of view, at least.
No, you're right, Mike. Somebody's got to set the tone. And usually the home team sets the pace of play. You know, what are we doing here? Are we thudding? Are we, nobody should be tackling to the ground in those ever just wait for the game. But, what's going to be the tempo here? And I think usually the home team is supposed to set that, but I'd like to set it ourselves,
That's right.
I think that, I'd like to go out there and set the tempo, especially as a group of wide receivers. I want to go out there and make sure usually it's tops, Big Seth. So I'm like, hell, tops, I can block. I'm not cutting you, but I'm going to try to take your head off here. You know, I want you to let you know that I'm here. And that's what it's really all about, man. Setting a tempo, setting a pace, and trying to, I just want to see what our mindset is. I would love to see when they come back from Washington, if our team has the same reaction from the beat that it had from the Detroit game. Because I doubt that's going to happen. I think we're already building a more physical, tougher football team. If we get that same report back from them, then that would be very disappointing for me, especially with week one of going against an opponent.
It'd be a major disappointment. And I don't, nothing that we're seeing or hearing from what's being said at the microphone or what's being, the type of players that they're bringing in. I just don't see that from John Eric Sullivan or Jeff Hafley. I believe this team's going to play hard and be physical. I mean, I just think that, I don't know how good they're going to be. The odds are they're not going to be great, but I think they're going to play hard and they're going to be physical.
Big Seth, I tell you my Boston College story, man. Boston College, we used to beat the hell out of them, in football.
I'd hope.
But I'm going to tell you this, Mike, they knocked the shit out of me, man. Really? They were physical. They were, they were tough as hell, man. And they hit harder than most of the teams we played against in my whole career at Penn State. I'll tell you, there's a guy named Ronald Reagan, and I'm still looking for his ass. He got me really good a couple times, but he didn't know it until
I did. Ronald Reagan?
Yeah, like the president.
I'm guessing not that one, so I'm guessing not that one.
Yeah, I'd have ran through that guy and around him. But yeah, Ronald Reagan, man, he was tough, man. So, that's what I'm saying, though. If we can at least go out there and show a physicality, the one that Jordan Brooks wants everybody to play with, that'd be fantastic to me. Same thing that Patrick Paul is talking about, and we'll probably get into that. But, I just want us to be a physical football team, man, because physical wins out every time. And no matter what the weather is, no matter what the situation is, physical football wins out every single time. It's like a boxer. Wear people down, wear them down. And I think that's what we're trying to get to as a football team, is a very physical football team.
Well, we tried it the other way, and that didn't work. So it might as well
It was cute for five minutes.
Yeah. It was cute when you're playing the worst teams in the league. And it's like, hey, we can just run right by them. But then when you're playing Kansas City, then when you're playing the Bills up north, then when you're playing New England up north, yeah, you're just going to get shoved around. And it's like, well, it's not a shock. That's how this team was built. Yeah, you're right. They have to be more physical. I think they will be more physical just from, picking someone like Caden Proctor in round one. That's a big man right there. Paul's a big man. So, yeah, they're going to be more physical, I think. Even some of the wide
receivers. Chris Johnson's physical.
Chris Johnson.
Rodriguez is physical, All
even the wide receiver they took from Texas Tech, known for his blocking. He's a physical wide receiver, likes to block. So they were looking for a certain type of guy. So I know some fans are like, why are we taking this wide receiver here? It's too high. Well, they're looking for one thing in particular. And I think with someone like him, it's like, yeah, he's tall, he's fast, he can catch. He also blocks. He's physical.
Right. And we know that Malik will block in the middle too. So we got, we're and then you get the big ass tight end from Ohio State, Kasmerick. You know what I mean? He's another dude that wants to just maul. They got the right mindset, and we kind of can read the tea leaves and see what they're looking to do. as an offense, but it's got to be reciprocated on the defensive side. So I think that we got some guys on defense that can do as well. We need our young guns, our big boys, our big nasties to really be take that next step, and that'd be huge for us in the middle and give some guys on the outside opportunities and definitely give our linebackers more opportunities.
Couldn't agree more. So, you know, I'm actually looking at the chat, and we need. I'm hoping some other people get in here. But, well, I'm just looking at it. So Bohica just asked what our take is on Omar and Alan Poupard calling the new defensive guys, saying that they were smallish.
Well, the linebackers, we knew that. They took Lewis from Pittsburgh. He's undersized. That's why he fell to round five. And Rodriguez is a little bit undersized. So, but like, with those two, we kind of knew it. Outside of that, and also the safety from Texas is undersized. But again, he went like what, round five, six, whatever it was.
You know, you know somebody that was huge, that, you know, that was huge, was really big, that played for the Dolphins, a guy named Zach Thomas, and another guy named Jason Taylor. They were humongous.
Monsters.
They were so big.
I mean, it's not a shock.
You know what I mean?
These dudes can ball, man.
You know, and that's all that matters, man. You know, I played against Levon Kirkland, Chad. Big ass Levon Kirkland. I just run an option route on him all day, seam route all day. You know, but if he lines you up, you're in trouble. But everything else, he was so big that you weren't even worried about him. You weren't even worried about him squaring you up, because back in the day, it was more of a run game. But you've got these guys now that can run and hit. I mean, come on, man. It's like that's all that matters right there. Smallish to who? I mean, you look at if you look at some of the numbers you're talking about here, you know, I mean, even when you look at Rodriguez, they got him listed at 235. That's not small to me, man. You know,
yeah,
6 foot 235. That is not small to me.
Is he 6'1"?
He's
235. But that, you know, I mean, that's the linebackers.
I think Kyle Lewis is more of a hybrid kind of guy, anyways. So, you know, even him at 6'220, that's not killer either for me. I'm okay with all that, man. There's no longer 255-pound linebackers.
Here's who's not small. Grant, Zeke Biggers, Jordan Phillips.
Keep them all.
Those three have to play better this year.
Right.
And if they play better, then they won't look so small on that side of the ball, because they need to be on the field more, especially Grant, who was picked like 13th, I think. So if those guys play well, I'm not worried about the rookies so much, because some of the guys are picked around five. Expectations. You got to have some expectations here. And we know that side of the ball, it's a little bit of a hot mess. It's going to take more than one offseason to fix some of the issues, just sort of get through this season. So, yeah, they might be small in here or there. It shouldn't be a shock, though, because this is more than a one-off season fix. And I don't know, just kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. Let me see what Chad's linebackers look like. Chad, what do your linebackers look like? Right inside linebacker. He is 6'4", 242. That's a big boy.
That's a big fella.
Never mind.
That's a big fella. Well, here's where I'm confused. And I didn't hear what they said. I like Omar and Allen, so I'm not trying to, you know, it's not about taking shots. But here, what I don't understand is, as soon as they're selected, like, there's 17,000 draft guides, like, you know what their height and weight is. It shouldn't be a surprise that if you draft a guy who's 6'1", 230, like, he's not coming in here looking. The two linebackers, when I started working for the team in 96, Juice, you know, you had Dwight Hollier and Chris Singleton. Like, those were big dudes. Like, that's what linebackers look like. And then you started to see a shift where people wanted fast and playmakers, and that's supposedly what you have here in Rodriguez and Lewis. Yeah. So I don't know.
Seth, you know, coming from Combine, your numbers, what you had in the program at your college is way different than what they're going to give you at Combine. Sure. I was 5'11 in our program, and they put me at 5'9¾ at Combine. You know what I mean? So, you know, they got all the accurate numbers they got, you know, at Combine or Pro Days or whatever it might be. So they know exactly what they were getting, and they know exactly what they're going to be getting on the football field.
Yeah, no question about it. So, you know, I didn't watch a whole lot of the highlights. I did see, as we're talking about Lewis, I saw the interception. We saw a few interceptions. My big question was, because he couldn't see who was throwing the ball, I was like, okay, I hope Malik Willis isn't throwing all of these. And I guess he had one off a tipped pass. I mean, it's OTAs. It's offensive install. That I mean, that
there is a miscommunication with the receiver and a kind of hesitant tip off the tip. Yeah.
And I'm okay with a miscommunication juice in year one of a new system new players and a new quarterback in OTAs. I can, isn't that part of what OTAs are for?
Yeah.
But I don't want, if I hear miscommunication in week 14 of year three of this regime, then we're going to have a problem.
Oh my God. How tired of that were we? I mean, we just
time for a team meeting. Time for another team meeting. Yeah. Players only.
But nobody's here. Nobody's showing up to the team.
And then no one showed up. Jeez, I wonder why. It's only your 16th one in like 5 weeks.
Oh, Lord.
What a mess. So what do you think? I mean, you know, you're starting to see from afar, because the media, the practice was only open to the media only one time. I guess so there were three, right? Three practices. The second one was open to the media. We're seeing some highlights. We're hearing from players and coaches. What stood out to you from everything that we've seen and heard, Michael Leva? What stood out to you over the last 3 days of OTAs?
Jeff Hafley. The Miami Dolphins put out like a 5-minute video, and it was Jeff Hafley being mic'd up. And, of course, they're going to be careful with what they put out there. But he was involved with both sides of the ball. And I'm not saying Mike McDaniel wasn't, but I don't think it was to a level of specifics like this. I think Mike was obviously involved with both sides of the ball when it comes to like an OTA practice, but not like this. Hafley was in there. He was wearing the things on his arms, trying to knock the ball out of play. He just seemed like, I know he hasn't been a head coach before on this level, but he was a head coach at Boston College, where, where, you know, not an easy place to win in college sports, especially these days. Yeah. So it just seemed like he did have a command. And also, the team, just watching that little 5-minute video, it's such a young team. You can just tell watching the video, not a lot of veterans. You're not seeing Xavier Howard in that video. You're not seeing Jalen Ramsey in that video. You're not seeing Emmanuel Ogba in that video. This is a young, it looks like a college team in many ways, which, again, not a surprise. We kind of know this, and that's why the expectations this year are so low for this team, at least from a win total wise. But that was the biggest takeaway. Hafley, you know, and part of that video, he's going back and forth with Achan when the offense
put up
a touchdown. He goes, I called that one, Achan. Now I'm coaching the offense. Then when they made a stop, I called that one too, because now I'm coaching the defense. I'm coaching the whole team. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know how intentional that was, but probably a good thing to put out there after what we've lived through the past few years.
No doubt. And I think, you know, and Juice can certainly attest to this, but when a coach – first of all, I love that they're already joking around, right? It means there's a rapport being built, but they're still working and it's serious and it's not just a clown show. But what I really enjoy seeing is that rapport. And when a coach has a specific side of the ball that maybe they have an affinity for, you know, Juice has talked at length about how when Jimmy Johnson was the coach here, it was all about the defense. And you know, Dave Wannstedt was more of a defensive-minded coach as well, coming in as defensive coordinator. So it sounded like Achan was giving him a little crap about, you know, don't come over here. Why don't you go back over to the defensive side? And he's like, I'm coaching the whole team. You know, I'm coaching the whole team today. And then, of course, took credit for the touchdown. Yeah, Mike, that jumped right out at me as well. Juice, did you get a chance to watch any of this stuff? Even the interviews, was there anything that jumped out at you for what we've seen for the last 3 days?
Yeah, I mean, there were a few things. I love, you know, hearing some of the guys talk. I love hearing Coach Hafley talk about, you know, about what's going on in the OTAs. There are certain things that, you know, that we can look forward to when it comes to Coach Hafley. I love the fact, honestly, that, you know, when he's talking about the wide receiver one position, he's basically like, we'll let it handle itself. We're not designated. Nobody's designated really as the wide receiver one right now. You know, we'll let somebody. I like that they're going to create some competition right there. And also, you know, I love the fact that, like you guys are talking about, he seems like he's going to be a player's coach, but not a pushover player's coach.
Yeah.
You know, there's a thin line between that, and I think that he's got their respect and got their attention right now. And that's what came off to me. And I think he's also got the media's attention. You know, I think the media have a mutual respect for him so far. You know, it's all half can't tell us anything until we see that. Now we know that first, you know, joint practice with Washington, you know, the second practice with the Giants, you know, maybe a little bit with the game against Atlanta. But half really until September hits, that's when we get, you know, more what half's all about. But we want to see the progression from his players. But I think that right now what I'm liking is that he's a guy that, you know, a guy like myself would honestly would like to play for. You know, I would like to play for Mike McDaniel because he was so offensive-minded as well. But when I look at half and his personality, I think it's a guy that I would really enjoy playing for.
What is it,
Jimmy Johnson was a clownfish to me. What's that?
What is it that jumps out at you that you would want to play for Halfley?
Well, I see that he's got, you know, a sense of humor, but it's not like over the top trying to be funny. You know, he's all about his business.
It's still work, right?
Yeah, exactly right. You know, you can tell he's really dialed in on his message and the fundamentals and everything about that. And I think that when you see the interaction with some of the players, that tells you that he's not a guy that's just going to walk by somebody. You know, he's not going to Nick Saban somebody that's passed out in the doorway and walk over top of him and keep going. He's going to be somebody that's going to be concerned about his players and try to get the best out of him while being, you know, really, really tight with him. So that's what I felt when I listened to him so far. I haven't met him yet, but I look forward to it. I'm sure it'll happen soon.
Yeah, I bet he's going to love when he gets his opportunity to meet you. He does seem – he even said it. He said the building comes alive when the players are in the building. That's why you get into this, right? That you get into coaching football to be around the guys and to coach and to teach. But it didn't seem – and here we are reading into 4.5 minutes of content that's been pushed out to us. But it doesn't – what didn't come across to me was someone that was just trying to get everyone to like him or trying to be everyone.
Not performative in nature. It was
definitely didn't seem performative, Mike. I agree with that wholeheartedly. But it also felt a lot of the times that Mike McDaniel wanted to be liked by those guys. Not as well. First of all, if you want to be liked, I don't know that that's right. Is it better to be loved or be feared? Remember that line in A Bronx Tale? And so I just. Like, somebody has to be the boss. You can have good relationships, but somebody has to be the boss. And it should be the guy who's got the friggin' title, head coach. Like, that guy should be the boss. And so have good relationships. Enjoy the people you work for. Make them feel that they you know, what they do matters and that they're seen and that they're heard. But also make sure they understand, like, there's one guy who's in charge here, and I don't want to get too much into what I tried to tell you all is. And in that very short clip, I saw a lot of that, and particularly at the end. I love the way he broke that thing down, and I love the way he told him, like, look, we don't have a lot of time.
Right.
This thing's going to move fast. And, you know, it's the way it's set up, and it's going to be more mental. I don't know. Juice, we had a great feeling when we sat down and interviewed Mike McDaniel, and he said a lot of the right things. And this is, if people are doubting you at this point, then you're really screwing something up. So, you know, we need to take that with a grain of salt. But there was just, you've been around more football than any of us. I think we've all been around football to some degree. And this just felt like what it's supposed to feel like when a guy is taking command of an organization. And that's what you wanted.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And going back to what Half was saying at the end of that one indoor session they had, it's mind-boggling how fast they try to get you going, how quickly they try to get you up to speed. The installs are ridiculous. They'll install, I don't know, 30, 40 plays in the morning, and then they want you to go out there and be able to run them like they just told you about them that, you know, right away. You know, these guys aren't used to that much playing time or that much classroom time because it's so limited in the college game. I think the college game are limited maybe 20 hours, maybe it 20 is. Hours a That's week it. They're allowed yep. to actually be able to do some things. And for those guys now, this is a job. Now, this is a 7-to-7 job now for these guys. And they'll learn that quickly. But the install part is what's going to be tougher than anything if you're not paying attention. You know, if you're not paying attention, I told you the time, like when I was trying to tell y'all, like last time when we had our mini camp, it was the whole team.
Yeah.
The whole team was there. So the install was only really for the guys that just got there. The rest of the team already knew half of that shit. You know what I mean? And so for us to go in there and try to be able to regurgitate that, it was tough as hell for me and some of the other young guys. And Danny actually called a damn play that wasn't even installed yet, and Shula yelled at me for it. You know, because I said, I don't know. I've never heard that play, coach. And he yelled at me to yell at the whole team. If it's in the playbook, you're responsible for it. If it's in the playbook, you're responsible for it. So what I do the rest of that day and night, I was in that damn playbook looking at plays that I didn't even, you know, that weren't even installed. But when time to install came, I was able to do that. So if these guys are about their business, which I hope they are, they'll be in that playbook. And I'm hoping it's nowhere close to as wordy and tough as Mike's playbook was, especially on the offensive side. But it's something that these guys can get a grasp of and be able to go out there and regurgitate right away, because now it's go time now, man. You know, it's time for these guys to get rolling now. What are they at, phase three, going into four?
Yeah, that's what he said, phase three. I don't know the phases.
I don't know the phases either, man. I know it's go time, Big Seth. You know, it's summertime already, man. Let's get this thing rolling, man.
Yeah, I think back to my first experience in a National Football League camp, and again, not as a player, but 1996 and Jimmy's first year, the rules were out the books. Trace is turning Jimmy in for violating all the CBA rules.
Ridiculous.
Guys are, you know, 14 straight two-a-days or something.
14 straight days of two-a-days. Most of them with pads, full pads. Man,
real quick, legitimately, how many hours are, especially like the new players, the rookies and people they brought on, how many hours per week are they putting in to practice, study, just football?
Yeah, well, like I said, the day is a 7-to-7 day. It really is a 7-to-7, 7-to-6 day. You might get out at 3:30 or 4 o'clock on Friday. You know, you get Tuesdays off for business to take care of business, but then you're back at it. You know, there's no Saturday or Sundays off in football. So yeah, it's a really, really long day. And within that day, especially now, they'll have classroom, they'll have conditioning, they'll have weights, they'll have some on-field work, they'll have more classroom. They'll eat three meals. If you want, you'll eat three meals there. You'll eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the facility. And they have, of course, a great menu and a great,
great
staff. It's unbelievable how good the food is now. Yeah. You know, I mean, where Zach Thomas back in the day had to pretty much order his food in, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Now they have a full kitchen with and whatever you eat, whatever, you know, and they do so many things that are innovative now scientifically in terms of, you know, blood types and, you know, recovery drinks and, you know, what you should be eating, you know, a nutritionist, all that stuff is in-house now that, you know, wasn't really there when I was there, you know. So, yeah, it's a long day moving forward. I think now during this time of year, it's maybe 4 days a week, 3 or 4 days a week that they're allowed to be in the building. I'm not sure they're allowed to be there on the weekends. I don't think they are. But once it gets rolling, man, it's hella long. And you know what? It's really survival of the fittest, man. And that's why, you know, you need your buddies to lift you up, man, to keep you going, man. Because by the time your head hits the pillow, man, your freaking alarm goes off when it gets into like training camp and stuff, man. So but go ahead, Chad.
So is that why I see some of the Dolphins out at Holiday Park, because doing their own individual work, because they're not allowed to be in the facility because they're only allowed to be there during certain times. Is that why they'll also have individual trainers for their off time?
Correct. In the off season, for sure. You know, in the off season, I don't even think they're sometimes they're not even allowed in the building because of, you know, a CBA. You know, and that's you know, it's kind of whack, but that's why a lot of guys do their own thing for a while. But the CBAs, you know, it's good and bad. You know, we us older guys think that they could do a lot more for us, but that's a whole different story.
I ever tell you the story about, speaking of Zach? So this was, I think, at between their first and set. It's a no hour week podcast recording.
Sam's right.
So I think it was the year from 96 to 97, Zach and Izzo had just become, you know, fan favorites and overnight sensations almost. And I don't know if you remember, Juice, they renovated the weight room in Davie. So they shut the weight room down. And then there was that whole dark period where nobody was supposed to be in the building. And we would take the spiral staircase down from the media relations office, cut through the weight room to get to the locker room, the training room, the equipment room, whatever it might be. And I go walking through there and they had the plastic up, you know, like ET or whatever, where they came in there and they blocked it all up and the whole thing. And I hear like this noise. I hear like this wrestling and then I'm like, what the hell is it? Are there rats in there? Like, what's going on in this thing? And then like from behind the curtain, the plastic pulls back and it's Zach. And he's like, oh, we thought you were John Gamble. And him and Izzo were in there, and they snuck in the building through the plastic and the ongoing renovations to the weight room to get a lift on. They were in the building working out. They were not supposed to be there, violating the CBA. Probably needed damn construction hats to be in there.
Right, right. Hats,
and they were in there working out. I mean, those are the guys that you want on your football team.
That's it.
Hey, if Zach Thomas gets fined from this, I am not representing you when he sues you.
Statute of limitations. I think once you got a gold jacket, it's all off.
Yeah, I don't know what the statute of limitations is. Yeah, maybe the gold jacket. You're good if you get one of those.
He still owes you some pants, Chad. He still owes you a pair of pants.
He still does.
So, yeah, don't represent him until he pays that up at least, man.
We got a question in the chat, Juice, from Sam, and it's a legitimate question.
A real question from Sam.
A real question. What assistant coach did you work with that you thought should have been a head coach?
Oh, that's a great question. One guy I really thought had a great chance was Mike Westhoff. Mm. I really thought Mike Westhoff had a great rapport with all the players. I thought he had their respect. Mike Westhoff cursed everybody out in that Monday meeting, Seth, that you've been to, where the Monday special teams meeting is the whole team, offense, defense, special teams, coaches, trainers, media, communications guys, everybody's in that meeting, it seems like. And Mike Westhoff is, he had everybody's attention. And I think special team coaches in general are good guys. I thought, you know, after I was already done, I thought Rizzi was a solid head coach when he was an interim, you know.
Name's still coming up, right?
Still coming up, yeah. But they have a hand on everybody on the football team. You know, the special teams coaches, everybody pretty much except quarterbacks. You know, they've got a hand on it. The quarterbacks aren't doing anything. Well, unless you got a fake, they've got a holder. Right? You got maybe sometime. Back then you had quarterbacks that were holders. But I think Mike Westhoff, you know, and he's going to be inducted into Canton, I think, as a special – what's that called, Seth, that he's getting?
It's not the contributors, but it's something like
something
that.
Like that, yeah. So he's going to be in Canton, and me, Zach, and Izzo will probably go up there and show him his flowers, man, because honestly, he's the guy that got me going, man. He's the guy that he's the one that went to bat for me in the war room on draft day, you know, when they're looking for somebody, when they're looking at, you know, Kevin Williams from UM, when they're looking at this guy Glenn Milburn from Stanford, you know, and Michael tell you, Michael let me know, man. You're the reason I'm the reason you're in Miami, you know. So I already know that Mike takes credit for me getting drafted by the Dolphins, but that's a guy I thought that had the respect from everybody on the football team, and I thought that, you know, especially when you look at, we're talking about Halfley, we talked about McDaniel, you got a defensive coach we have now, an offensive coach right there. He's a coach that didn't have a dog in the fight on either side. You know, he just wants to, you know, win football games and manage football games and manage special teams. So I think that'd be probably the best chance at a guy that was one of the assistant coaches that could have been a head coach, because he could have probably hired the best coordinators on the other sides because, you know, he wasn't worried about calling plays on offense or defense.
I had Mike on this podcast twice. I had a chance to talk to him. First off, the single greatest podcast guest I've ever had on, bar none. And I've spoken to Ricky. I spoke to Zach. You asked Mike Westhoff a question.
Mike?
You're good too, Juice. You ask Mike Westhoff a question, he does not pull any punches. He even said to me, he goes, after Jimmy Johnson quit, I should have been the head coach. They hired the wrong guy.
Yeah,
he is not afraid to say it.
Right.
And he was a guy who, and I see right here on the internet, he's getting the Pro Football Hall of Fame Award of Excellence, which I haven't heard about before, so maybe it's something new.
Yeah,
but that's what he's getting this year. And he is, you know, because I remember he was on with Joe Rose a few years ago. Mike McDaniel's like first or second year, and I guess it was a bad practice, whatever.
Year one,
and I had him on like that week, and Mike goes, "I would have turned the goddamn music off and started the whole thing over again." I'm like, "Mike, I think there's rules against it. You don't get so much time out there." I don't care. We would have started the whole thing over again. No music this time. He was just awesome as a guest.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were in line to have him on our show until that incident, Mike.
That's
we had really? And then they nixed that shit real fast, man. Like, no, that's it.
Like inviting a guy out to practice, letting him stand on the sidelines, treating him like an alumni should be treated. And he goes on the radio and says it was the single worst practice he had ever seen in his entire life. Oh, God. And so, you know, I always wonder, Westhoff was in Denver in that 70-point game when the Dolphins put 70 up on him. And I always wonder if there was a little part of – and I kind of hope there was, right? That's what you wanted in Mike McDaniel, a little bit of that FU where he was like, yeah, we're going to put – the worst practice you ever saw? How about this game? How about 70 for you? There's a 70-burger, coach. But, yeah, I had an opportunity to work with Mike for a handful of years there. And, man, it was – he called me Zeth. It was with a Z. Zeth. Hey, Zeth. Hey, Zeth, come on over. I want you to look at these numbers. And he would give me all kinds of assignments. It was a lot of fun to do that stuff. So I'm looking at the time here, and I think
let's real quick, Big Seth, Tequilo, Poppy.
Oh, there's a question. US?
Yeah, he wants to talk about our thoughts on Malik Willis so far. You know, and it's really not as hard for us to. Yeah.
All right, so I'm sorry, real quick. So Sam said, I thought you were going to say Tom Oliver.
Tom Oliverdotti. Yeah. Hell no.
No, Shula's ride or die right there.
No chance right there. Labadati? No. But, yeah, I think that, you know, with us, I think that it's still a wait and see with Malik. But what he's done so far, everybody's talked about it. It's been absolutely amazing. For him to show up to rookie minicamp, you know, unprovoked, unannounced, whatever it might have been, was really, really awesome. And I think that what Halfley said about Malik, which I really love, is – just go out there and start performing and don't worry about trying to lead right now.
Yeah.
You know, even though at the end of the one that clip we saw, who did he call up to bring the team up? Malik Willis. Malik Willis. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, I think that Malik is on the right path with us, man. I think that he's going to have the utmost respect from his teammates, man. And that's key. When you got dogs out there that want to go to battle for you, I think some quarterbacks around here have rubbed people the wrong way. You know, and that they're going to still go out there and play their, you know, play hard for the team, but they're not going to play as hard for a quarterback that's a jerky boy, you know, or they're not going to try to hang out with a quarterback that's a jerky boy,
yeah,
you know, and they're not going to have their back when it comes to going into a, you know, a presser or whatever if you're a jerky boy. I think Malik's starting to get that respect, and I think the players starting to love him, you know, as one of their leaders. And I guarantee at the end of the day, you know, knock on wood, he's going to stay healthy. But knock on wood, Malik Willis, I guarantee he'll be one of our captains moving forward.
Oh, you would have to imagine everything that you're seeing.
Guaranteed.
I like all the Jerky Boy references. Anybody remember those tapes?
Oh, my God, of course. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
The best.
So good.
I mean, you got to be a certain age to remember it. Here's the thing. We're all of a certain age, though. Yes, I do remember the Jerky Boys.
What's your bench? Yeah. Pounds, baby, pounds.
Oh, see, now I got to go back and listen to some more of those now.
They got to be on YouTube.
You know they are.
They were the originals, man. Absolutely loved the Jerky Boys. Well, I don't know what kind of a segue it is to go from the Jerky Boys into the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. But, Chad, so in the news another day, another major organization talking about bankruptcy. So the headlines, LIV Golf reportedly laying groundwork for U.S. bankruptcy if new investors aren't secured. What's going on?
Man, last week we talked about Brightline, and I took the Brightline yesterday to court in Orlando. It was actually delayed. Got me there, but delayed coming back. Almost missed my brother's birthday. But now, LIV Golf, and the story to me is simple. LIV bought disruption, but now it has to prove that it's sustainable. They spent huge money on players, purses, attention. Have you guys regularly watched LIV Golf, any of you?
I've seen it here or there for like five minutes. It doesn't even look like golf. It looks like a video game almost on the screen. They got money from Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia stops sending the money. They're dead. No one's going to invest in this.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it. I mean, what they did is they gave the players leverage because they had the players had an option. They forced the PGA Tour to react, and the PGA Tour did react. They increased the purse. They did some other things. But money can buy headlines, but it cannot guarantee a business model. And unfortunately, I talk to business owners every day about this, where if your business is not driving revenue and the revenue is not sustainable, even with a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, your business will not be successful because Chapter 11 is great at reorganizing debt. But bankruptcy cannot make fans care. It cannot make sponsors show up.
Right.
It cannot make the numbers work if the business just does not work. So what is Live without Saudi funding? Probably nothing.
And the USFL? Probably gonna go away.
So
look, the NFL is the mob, man. Nobody beats the mob. But you're talking about PGA golf now? It's like these guys, man, all they had to do was weather this storm. Like you said, Chad, there's like no way it'd be sustainable, man. And, you know, what's so crazy to me is how different do you think, Chad, it might have been if Tiger might have jumped over to them? I know some of the greats like Phil Mickelson and Koepka and those guys, I think Rahm might have went over there too, but nobody like Tiger Woods jumped over there, you know? I mean, Scheffler didn't. Yeah. None of those guys jumped over there. The big names didn't jump.
Yeah, and you said you saw Tiger did his own thing with the TGL, and I thought that was brilliant because it was a clear difference from they're not really competing.
Right. He's not competing against PGA, people. Right? Right.
Yeah. So I have to imagine that Tiger used that as leverage as well, and I'm sure all the big name guys use that as leverage in their negotiation with the PGA, but it was one of those things that it was the whole purpose of it was to create the disruption, and they created it, and it just was not sustainable in any way. Nobody that I know watched it. I don't even know what channel it really was on. Yeah. It was on some.
I do. Random that's how channel. I found it by mistake. It was on the CW channel. No one watches the CW channel. Wow. It was on the CW because I was flipping. I go, what the hell is it? It was half the screen like a video game. It looked horrible on TV. Not that I watch a lot of golf, but I'm like, I don't watch a lot of golf, but I ain't watching this. And look, they got money from Saudi Arabia for a while, and Saudi Arabia, which has got more money than anyone on earth. They even got bored with it and like, no, we're done. Because they're still investing in UFC, the wrestling, the boxing, but they don't want nothing to do with it. They're like, no, we're done with the golf thing. That's over. Yeah. Like, they even got tired of it.
Someone sold them on, like, we're going to get Tiger over here. Like, somebody sold them on that and then couldn't deliver is what I think. But it feels, as you were describing it, Chad, it feels a lot like the USFL, the original USFL to me.
Right.
Go watch that 30 for 30 about
that's great.
Our president, and what happened to the USFL. And that's what that's what it feels like as you're describing it, or sounds like, I should
sounds
say.
Like, yeah.
To me, it's actually more like the XFL, to be honest, because they try to like make it cute and they try to make it a little different, and it just didn't work. And
I think that's a great point. But I'm gonna tell you what the USFL's done, Chad. Is the NFL's adopted some of their situations there, kickoff situation. You know, they're right. Probably looking to adopt some more different situations, you know, whereas you talk about the XFL. It is more like your SFL because you've got teams when it comes to live golf. You got dudes out there in short shorts, man. I don't get that half the time either. You know what I mean? It's there we go.
There we go.
That's an original XFL ball. Old school.
He hate me.
I remember that.
Right. Remember Tippy Brown, the Dolphins offensive coordinator, was with the Memphis Maniacs. I actually called him to see if he needed a PR director. He's like, Seth, you don't want to come out here. But he had Jim Druckenmiller as his quarterback. The bladder's up. But this is an original XFL, one that you buy in the store. This was actually sent from an XFL team.
That's dope. Love that. Well, we got to get Bobby Monica to send some more.
It looks like the USFL it looks like the USFL is actually working with the NFL though, right? They're not going head to head with them, right?
Well, now
smartly,
now it's more like a feeder system where they're working together, which I think that model works. Obviously, trying to go head to head or just be a completely separate league, it doesn't make sense because the NFL just is so well funded, so well ran. But if people like to watch football and there's obviously a lot of talented football players that aren't making the NFL rosters. So it certainly can work.
Well, go ahead, Drew.
I was just saying the USFL is 1,000% smart by not playing football during football season.
You know? Well, but that was the model, the original USFL model.
Nobody could, because you got to compete with college and pro. and high school, basically. You know what I mean? It's like you don't want to compete with those different levels of football.
Donald Trump decided they should. And then
he tried to buy his way into the NFL from that show. And then he just wanted to get a team in the NFL. He didn't care about the league.
Yeah, and the antitrust lawsuit, and they won, and they won $3. They won three dollars.
And he wouldn't cash the check. And when the girl showed him the check, he stood up and left the room. He walked out of the interview. He didn't want to see the check.
Oh my God, it's so good. You got to watch
it. It's the best.
Absolutely great. So we have one more question that was here, and I know we're over time, but we'll get into the. I try to tell y'all. So Sam Marcuse says you should combine golf with the UFC. That he would have watched. Too good. So the question is from Bohica: if I am driving a U-Haul across country with a secured firearm in the back, do I need to declare it to law enforcement if pulled over when they ask if there are any firearms in the vehicle?
Yes, immediately.
Always.
Just immediately. And make sure to keep your hands up, because obviously law enforcement is going to be a little nervous if somebody named Bohica. Yeah, they're pulling them
especially
over.
If Mojito looks like
beard.
He looks like that.
Yeah,
with that beard. And knowing that there's a weapon in the vehicle. So, yeah, so I absolutely declare it. Make sure your hands are up. Make sure everybody gets home safe.
Yeah.
Good stuff. All right, let's roll into I Try to Tell Y'all. We know we always start this segment off with OJ McDuffie. Juice, what'd you try to tell us, man?
I try to tell y'all, as you know, you know, and this is a big surprise for you guys. This is going to be a big surprise where I'm headed here. I try to tell you guys about the current Dolphins receivers. Big
Oh, there it is, the wideouts. I knew it was a wideout.
And I will continue to talk about them and tell y'all that I believe in this new look Dolphins offense. I'm all in on the rebound and the fresh start at the wide receiver position after the Hill Waddle era. Again, I love what the front office has been putting together: speed, size, youth, and competition, more importantly. That's going to be everywhere. They're talking about building a physical, explosive group that can stretch the field and win in the trenches on the perimeter. Sounds like the new Dolphins football to me, fellas. What do you guys think so far? Yep. All right, well, whatever. I think we have underrated potential playmakers who will make big plays on Sundays. I also believe that when they say they're stocking the skills position with talent every year, there will be solid wide receivers coming out every single draft, and who knows where we're going to hit on one of these names. I don't even care. If they want to get a quarterback every year, go get me a wide receiver every year as well, Big Seth. You know what I mean? God willing, a true wide receiver one who changes everything. Coach Halfley said that, you know, wide receiver one is basically going to define itself. He doesn't have to label anybody one right now. And so I like the fact he's going to let them fight for it. So I'm pumped for this whole group, young crew, especially guys like, you know, Chris Bell. Malik Washington's always been my guy. You know, Caleb Douglas, who everybody, was talking about. We'll see what he can do. And the vets like Tutu Atwell and Jalen Tolbert that have come in. Great pedigree there. Chris Bell out of Louisville, man. Big guy, 6'2", 220 pounds, with contested catchability, route running polish that, you know, jumps off the tape. Can't wait to see him completely healthy. Malik Washington, like I talked about before, has been showing flashes ever since he's gotten here. Quick twitch guy, slot guy who creates separation and plays bigger than his size and doesn't mind blocking, which I love about him. Caleb Douglas, he brings that vertical threat, that 4-3 and the length to go up and get it. And boy, have we needed that. When have we had a guy that'll go up and get it? So I'm looking forward to seeing if he can go that. And I know he wants to prove everybody wrong, too. It's been one of those situations. Now, you're right, OG, Big Seth. You're right about that. Yeah. Tutu, you know, the dude's a burner who can take the top off any defense and make a lot of plays for us. And I know we've got some other guys, some vets, and other guys, some depth pieces. You know, Terrence Marshall Jr., Theo Weiss Jr. We got a lot of juniors going on, Kevin Coleman Jr., Taj Washington, and, of course, the rest of the room. They're all going to be competing hard, and that's exactly what we need. The previous stars are gone. But shame on anyone who sleeps on this new group. Development takes time. Footwork gets cleaned up. Minds get right on these schemes. And these guys are hard workers who get it done. Now, I know Devon Achane is going to be a major part of our wide receiver game as well. And, of course, in the run game. So I like to see the run game cook. As a matter of fact, Seth, I told you and Travis the other day that I want a dominant defense, a great run game, and then a prolific passing game in that order. And that's a wide receiver that's talking like that. You know, that's a wide receiver talking like that. But adding these new receivers to, you know, to give, you know, Malik and Quinn an opportunity, it's going to be awesome for us, man. So this new group has always done an amazing job. This new Dolphins group has done an amazing job of building depth and keeping talent in the pipeline at every skill spot. I'm talking about the guys Halfley and Eric, you know, Sullivan. I'm talking about those guys, John Eric Sullivan. They've done a great job of doing this. So why not load up on receivers and let them battle it out? You know, we have a lot of needs on this football team. We've gotten younger and cheaper in some areas, but we also have to always be cognizant of keeping weapons in the pipeline for the most important position in this offense. Salary cap relief next year will help this. The guys are in. Watch them compete. Watch them develop. And let's get this receiving train rolling. Fins up, and I try to tell y'all.
There it is, this wide receiver message brought to you by O.J. McDuffie. Definitely damn right. Approved. So, Juice, as you got on a roll there, the chat was just spectacular. So Sam says you like the new receivers because there's no way they're going to reach your records. 4 years from now, you can vote them off the island. All right.
And, guaranteed.
Yeah. And then Bohica said we've had too many guys that wanted to go up and get it at Tootsie's. And so it's out of control in the chat right now.
Wide receiver one this year is going to be Achan. He's going to catch like 70, 75 passes. Yeah, right. He's really going to be their wide receiver one.
Got to get their money's worth. Got to get their money's worth. So, Chad, sitting there with the Mirror Ball trophy, is there anything that you tried to tell us?
Man, you know what I tried to tell y'all. And I tried, and I did tell y'all.
And then you showed us.
The Miami Dolphins will remain my number two favorite team. And I will not be at every training camp this summer because I did win the chip. So my Steelers, Aaron Rodgers led Steelers, are still my number one team. I tried to tell y'all that I was going to bring this trophy to the pod. And here it is in the fish tank right now. And live right now, I'm nominating Juice to be the dancer next year. So we're going to add to the
trophy. You turned down a nomination? Can you reject the nomination? Is that allowed?
Hell yeah, you can. It's officially denied.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I tried to tell y'all.
Very nice. Congratulations again to Chad Van Horn, the Mirrorball Trophy champion. Not even my boss, Jason Taylor, was able to bring home the Mirrorball Trophy. Then again, he had to compete with Christy Yamaguchi in the finals. So, you know, you got to give him a little break there. Yeah. So, Mike Oliva, I really should let Mike go last. The last couple of times he tried to tell us something, he brought the house down. What do you got for us,
Mike? I'm going to mix it up this time because I was trying to think of something. I really don't have anything to say. I tried to tell y'all. On our podcast here at this YouTube channel, we have a thing I like to do sometimes called Mike's Rants. Let me play the gimmick.
And now it's time for another one of Mike's Rants.
All right. These days, if you are a fan of sports, it is expensive. I hear from a lot of people on social media these days how it's so expensive to watch sports now, especially in the NFL. You got to have cable or YouTube TV to see your normal Sunday slate of games. You got to have Amazon Prime for Thursday night. Netflix, you got the games on Thanksgiving Eve, Christmas Day, the first game of the year in Australia. That's all Netflix now. Peacock, oh my God, can't forget about the Peacock game. You got to have Peacock, $14.99 for this subscription, $7.99 for this subscription. Netflix, that might cost you $20 a month on top of, you know, and that's all on top of your cable bill, on top of your internet bill to stream this stuff. It's expensive being an NFL fan. Now, on a side note, there's a large segment of our society who for years celebrated when they cut the cord, F the cable companies. Be careful what you wish for, because you celebrated this. There is nothing wrong with cable the way we had it. And Seth, what did you say last week? New isn't always better. But we're not going backwards now. Streaming is here. But as much as that is expensive to get all the streaming services to watch these games, going to a game is more expensive. And I'm not talking about the local South Florida fan who gets to drive to the stadium, watch the game, drive home. I'm talking on behalf of people like me, the thousands among thousands among thousands of out-of-town fans who have to travel to Miami or some city not as good as Miami to watch the Dolphins play in person. Have you looked at the price of flights these days? Good God almighty, it's out of control. These airlines have a license to steal. And they are claiming poor. They're claiming they're going broke. How did Spirit Airlines go bankrupt? How?
That's going bankrupt.
Like owning a casino and watching them going out of business. You got to be next level stupid to manage an airline going out of business these days with what they charge the consumer. And not only is it a license to steal, did you see what Delta's doing? If you sit in coach or business class on some of their shorter flights, they're not going to give you a soda, water, or snack. Wait, what? That's right. On some of their shorter flights, they only give the people in first class a can of Diet Coke and a bag of stale chips. Now, on these shorter flights, they're still going to charge you like you're flying from New York to San Francisco. They're still going to charge you for Wi-Fi, but you can't get a crummy soft drink? What out-of-touch CEO thought this was a good idea? Well, I'm going to tell you his name. I might even show you his picture right now. His name is, if I can find it, you know what? Here it is. Ed Bastien, CEO of Delta. This guy. Look at this guy. He looks like the last guy a lesbian sleeps with before she comes out of the closet. Then, on top of that, you gotta book a hotel. And these hotels aren't getting any cheaper, especially if you want to stay somewhere that's not a dump where you got a roommate called Mr. Cockroach. The hidden fees when you book a hotel. Chad, how the F is this legal? Here's the fine print I saw. This includes the total of any estimated taxes paid by the travel service provider, such as the hotel company, at the time of your booking, and or by us tax authorities, including but not limited to sales tax, occupancy tax, value-added tax. This amount may also include hotel fees, cleaning fees, other fees paid to and or retained by us, the hotel supplier, and or the website which you booked, or work and or on the site. Please read the terms and conditions. After I read this, I got to read more. Here's my response to that. Fuck you. I'm spending three nights in a hotel room to sleep, poop, and shower. I don't need all these extra fees on top of that. You know, I shouldn't have to pay because I went on a website, which you need to sell me the room. I shouldn't have to pay because you need to clean the room and an occupancy tax. I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like bullshit. I'm not mad at the guy who came up with that fine print that hotels use. I'm mad at the kids in high school who let him out of the locker. And I won't get into tickets or parking prices because I could go on and on and on. But here's what I'm going to say to sum it up. Being an NFL fan isn't easy. When you're at home, you got to watch these games. You got to hunt this one on this app or that app. But then you signed out of the app. You got to sign in. What's my password? You're spending all this money these days. I get it. It stinks. But it's harder to go to an NFL game if you're an out-of-town fan. And myself and many other fans like myself, especially the Miami Dolphins, are doing all this for a team that's expected to win four games this year. So, yeah, if Chop Robinson only has three sacks this upcoming year, I'm going to complain. If Austin Jackson only plays in three games this year, I'm going to complain. And if Jonas Avainea spends more time on the ground where I feel like I got to buy him a life alert, I'm going to complain because what myself and the many other working folks out there have to pay to see a game in person, we've earned the right to complain. So it's not I tried to tell y'all, but this is bullshit because I booked all this stuff last week. It's crazy. The fees and how much everything costs.
Yeah, that's so good.
Wow.
Yeah, that's so good. And except, and you know, Stephen Ross tried to get the Michael Levis to pay for the stadium rebuild. He really was trying to like charge like a penny tax extra on the hotels and all the stuff that was here, and all that revenue would generate enough money, I think, to rebuild the stadium. And South Florida voted it down, so he had to pay it out of his own pocket. So, Mike, I feel you, bro. I mean, honestly, I feel you. I didn't want to tell you how much I pay to go to games. You know,
well, you got to come up here to watch the games at Penn State. I'm sure it's the same.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I'm going through the same thing I'm going through. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah,
Chad, man, just real crazy. Quick, if I do get sued by the CEO of Delta, I might need your help.
Yeah, I was going to throw that out there. Just yeah.
You know, I'll take it out of the replay. Yeah.
Too good. Too good.
Hide the evidence.
I even said I was going to set myself up. I need to prepare better if I'm going to go after Mike Oliva. That was quite the rant. But I tried to tell y'all, if you're going to have a position of leadership in the National Football League, put your name on it. For too long, we have had people in positions of leadership in the Miami Dolphins organization point to everybody else but themselves when things go wrong. I just heard a great interview with Sean McVay, coach of the Rams. He was with I didn't hear the whole interview. I want to go listen to it, but I just saw clips. I'm busting with the boys. And he talked about how looking back now with where he is as a coach now versus where he was as a young coach, and he was the youngest coach in the NFL at one point in time, how he mishandled the Jared Goff trade. And not that he thought it was wrong to trade him, but it was how he mishandled it, how he couldn't even look him in the eye and couldn't be up front and couldn't tell him what was going on. And if you're going to be in a position of leadership in the National Football League, put your name on it. Let's go back to the tuna. Bill Parcells. Big tough guy, doesn't like that Jason Taylor is dancing with the stars. He's getting his Chad Van Horn on. He doesn't like that. JT comes back in the middle of his run, and he's told to go upstairs, that Bill and the rest of the guys want to see you. They're over there having a meeting. He says, I'm not going to interrupt that meeting. And they say, no, go on up there. And he walks in, and the tuna won't even turn around. And why did he say he wouldn't turn around? I didn't know JT was there. I didn't have my hearing aids in. Bill Parcells, put your name on it, man. If you're going to be a tough guy and you're going to talk shit and you're not even going to turn around for a guy who's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, put your name on it and don't make up some BS excuse. What happens when he went out the door? Who did he blame? All the guys that he hired for drafting Pat White in the second round and everything else that he did. He hired these guys and he ran out the back door and blamed everybody else. Put your name on it. Cam Cameron blamed everybody else. If you're going to hold a position of leadership, what should you do? You should put your name on it. We've seen it with general managers here. We've seen it with head coaches here. But now, it seems like things may have changed. And granted, this is the time where nothing has gone wrong. It's the best time where you can stand out there and own things. But what did we hear from John Eric Sullivan? Right before the draft. Who has final say? I do. Not even the shadow of Troy Aikman, the great Miami Dolphins. Well, I guess he didn't play for the Miami Dolphins. But the all-time great quarterback who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and now is a member of the Miami Dolphins organization with a mysterious position that doesn't have a title. Not even the shadow of him could make John Eric Sullivan waver at all. He said, look, it'll be great to have him in there. I welcome him in there. I welcome everybody's opinion. But I make the final call. Mr. Ross has given me a great opportunity, but he's hired me to make these decisions. I make the final call. He put his name on it. So I wanted Reuben Bain. We got Caden Proctor. I hope he's a great player. He's certainly a large man. If it turns out that Reuben Bain is the next generation's Reggie White and Caden Proctor doesn't pan out, John Eric Sullivan owned it, and that's all I'm asking of someone who's in a position of leadership. And we're starting to see it now with Jeff Hafley. So Jeff Hafley said something in his presser. He said a lot of good things, but they asked him about Malik Willis's leadership. He said, I'm not so concerned about the leadership piece right now. I want him to be the best quarterback he can be. That's my job. That's our job as coaches. I want to hear from the head coach that he's the guy in charge. Put your name on it. That's exactly what we heard from him. And it was just a short little answer, but he made it. It was so clear. Like, it's head coach. They put the word head in front of coach for a reason, because you're the boss. You're the guy in charge. It's not about the leadership group. It's not about blaming the players for things, turning it over to the players. When something goes wrong, whether it goes wrong in the equipment room, whether it goes wrong in the bathroom, no matter what, ultimately the guy in charge has to take ownership for it and then deal with it later. And I love the fact that he says, I want these guys to become football players. Right now, it's our job to lead. When you are going to be in a position of leadership in the National Football League, put your damn name on it. I tried to tell y'all.
Nice.
That's all I got.
Hey, did you see the video that the Ravens put out where they got a call from the Lions and they were going to trade up to pick 14?
Yes.
And then once Miami took our guy, they like said, nope, we're good. We don't want to trade anymore. They wanted our guy bad. They wanted him bad. And they were offering like a third next year, a fourth this year, and their first round pick swap. But once we took Proctor, they said, nope, we're good. We'll sit tight.
I like that, Seth. I love that because that's exactly what John Eric Sullivan said, man. This is I'm making the decision on all this.
Owns it,
and they got their number one guy with their third pick, basically, man. You know what I mean? I think Rodriguez is their number. I mean, I look, it's all wait and see. I know it is, man. I'm excited for these guys, and Mike, you said it, you know, and I know you said it, Seth. You know, we don't expect much from these guys. I expect us to be a very smart, physical team. Whether we win games or not is one thing, but I don't see us not winning games in a couple years here. I think it's going to be one hell of a team, you know, something that we can make this turnaround, you know, that some of these other teams have made, like, not overnight, but you know what? You know, in a couple days from being overnight, and John Excel, he owns it. And I'm sure I can't wait until a bad game. Well, I don't want to see a bad game. When we do have a bad game, what half steps to the mic after a football game, I'm looking forward to his presser because it's been bullshit most of the time when it comes to our post-game press from either our quarterback or our head coach about what the hell happened, man. You know, I want somebody to who's that?
Why? It was a little late, but I got it.
I should have dinged you. Let me get
I know you should ding me. I said left for
it. Mike would have got dinged right out of damn live with all that. Yeah.
But I'm all for these guys and their, you know, accountability, man. It's great. And all the players are hopefully take notice, man, because they gotta be accountable too.
That's the way it works, right?
It's supposed to be. But you had other guys pointing fingers instead of thumbs, man. I don't like that shit.
But that's because it starts at the top. Yeah. It starts at the top. If you don't take ownership at the top, then everybody's going to follow suit. That's the way it is. We are way over time here. Great stuff. Looking forward to next week. We'll see. I can't wait to hear Savak's story about wherever the heck he was. And Chris Perkins, maybe he'll take a night off of the NBA and give us some time as well, since he's been on every other damn show in the YouTube sphere. OJ McDuffie, get us out of here, man.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for diving in.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Dog fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you